the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now, we want to turn our attention to the Irish Women's National Team. I'm delighted to say Louise Quinn is with us. Louise, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, how's things?
Good, thanks. What's your recovery been like from the game against Germany?
Yeah, getting there, just about recovered. Was a real tough slog from us, I think, kind of both mentally and physically, really. But yeah, listen, I think that was a game that we learned the most that we could have learned, to be honest, about ourselves, about the standard that you know, would hope to get to, or that, you know, or that we should expect if we want to qualify for the Euros. We're going to be playing similar teams like that again. So you've really got to be able to step up to the mark in those situations.
How do you prepare mentally in the build up to the game? Because, like, there's a shout that Germany are the best team in the world right now, that their form over the last year suggests they, irrespective of results in the last World Cup, that actually they're the very best team. So you're trying to go out there and make sure that you can perform as a group to get a result. You're trying to get your own game into a place where you're like, okay, some of these forwards are actually, again, the best forwards, and these midfielders are some of the trickiest midfielders I'm ever going to come up against. So how do you prepare for a game that you're expected to lose, while at the same time trying to prepare for the best possible outcome?
Yeah, I think you've kind of just got to look to yourself, I guess, you know, and try just get your best performance out, something that you're pleased with, that you try win your 1v1 battles, that you compete, and, you know, almost that you try be the best footballer you can on that day, and then hope as well that it all comes together as a team, you know, to try make that happen. You know, you never go into any football game thinking that, you know, that you're going to lose. You know, what's kind of the point in that? But we knew the task ahead of us was incredibly hard. We had kind of set goals, obviously, at the start of the campaign about, you know, games that are probably the most vital. And then obviously for us, if you know, wanting to go get a result, and then obviously if you get a result out of Germany, that is a massive, massive boost. So, you know, you kind of go into the game with kind of that thought of, you know, we don't have a whole lot to lose here, but we have so much to gain if we can get a result, or if we can play well and do something. So I think that was kind of our thoughts, you know, and we just wanted to, you know, to do our best under the circumstances. You know, we haven't seen each other in months. You know, I think even everyone's leagues are obviously starting at different times, the amount of games you have under your belt. You know, it was really difficult. And you could see then that the German league was one of those that actually was still able to continue kind of during some of the heights of COVID. So, you know, you knew that a lot of their players were going to be fit and sharp. But, you know, that's us. That's the, you know, the card, or the, you know, hand we'd been given. So, yeah, we just wanted to go in and give it our all, really.
There was a very defined plan on Saturday, Louise, and I guess in the build-up to this game, the qualifying run had been based on games that you were expected to go out and win. So not only are you facing into a game where you've got to come up with a completely different approach, as you mentioned there, it's right on the back of a pandemic. How difficult was it to come up with that new plan, or was it something that you had actually worked on in the past?
Well, yeah, I think it was obviously something that like Vera and Eileen had already been looking into. But then, yeah, I think they had, I'm sure they watched every German game that they could possibly find ever during the, during lockdown. But yeah, you know, I think from what we had seen, they figured out exactly how they can play. And then it's up to us as the players to figure out if we can kind of stop that. So they did, you know, try set us up in that way that would find difficult. And I think in the second half, we proved that we were able to handle it a little bit more. You know, they maybe took their foot off the gas a little bit, being 3-0 up at half time. But I think for us, it was a real positive that, you know, we went in at half time. You know, and it's something where you've got to say, we need to fix this. This is about us improving and figuring out the problems. Why are they causing us so much problem when we actually kind of know what they're going to do? And so that's what, for the second half, I think for us structurally, I think you could see that we were definitely more together and good to understand their movements a bit more. So for me, that was a huge positive to be able to improve so much in 45 minutes. Yeah, standard that they may have taken the foot off the gas a little bit, but they were still, I think they've still got just as many attacks as they did in the first half. So, you know, for me, that's just a massive positive to be able to take from that.
What actually gets said in the change rooms at halftime?
Geez, I need to think back now. I think it was all quite, you know, calm. I think we had, you know, obviously to go 3-0 down at halftime, and especially some of those goals being so close to then to halftime as well. It was just that. It was calm down. Let's look at our game plan. Let's see where they're causing us problems. We could see that they were just kind of shifting us everywhere. Their movement was incredible. You know, that top six could kind of move whatever way they wanted, and then the fullbacks came and joined in as well. So it was incredible, you know, overload of players, I think, especially down our right side. So it was about just figuring out where maybe players can pass players onto defenders, when we have to stay, when we have to go. And it was actually just good information. We looked at a couple of video clips as well, just so we could visually kind of see what's going on, because it was, you know, it was tough to see their movement. So it was just actually just good information to tidy us up and to, you know, to keep pushing and to, you know, I think we did create a couple of good kind of counter-attack moments, but then it's just about being smart with them then as well.
And then afterwards, because the floodgates didn't open, because that second half is strong, is there at least some kind of positivity? I know it's a 3-0 defeat and it's hard to kind of immediately think of it, but certainly the conversations afterwards were like, look, actually, you know what? It is a learning curve and we do have ambitions to match this team at some point, but we're not quite there yet for a bunch of different reasons. Was there enough positivity coming out of it that everybody can feel like, yeah, there's some signs of progress there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think under the circumstances as well, we were able to get, you know, everyone through a game, 90 minutes, as I said, we haven't been able to maybe get as much games, and that's across the board, that's across Europe. But, you know, to then get a very good intense 90 minutes, you know, out of Germany was a good success for us as well. And yeah, for us it's exactly, I think we'll definitely look to that second half, but for me it's that first half was just as important, as you know, as devastating as it was. And we of course we're going to take positives. That's, you know, that's for us the next game is the massive one. So, and I think we have so much to take from that last game that would be be a shame not to take, you know, some of the positives from us, as, you know, yeah, maybe the scoreline didn't show us, or maybe some of, you know, what we did, but in a team and after the game, as, you know, at least if we could come in being satisfied, know that we literally emptied the tank. You know, I think you can see at the end of the game that a lot of us were, you know, huffing and puffing and hands on knees, and that was because literally we gave it everything. And for me, that's a positive against probably, you know, the team that's more than likely going to win the Euros, that have built something, have improved incredibly since the World Cup. So for us, it was, I think we were just kind of trying to see what we could get out of each other. And that's going to be so important going into Ukraine next month.
There's a lot of other things that we wanted to chat to you about actually before, because obviously we can talk to you again in advance of the Ukraine game. It's been a really interesting summer for women's football. So you've got the big money signing, Alex Morgan joining Spurs, and some other like transfers happening that suggest the Women's Super League is actually going to evolve into something really meaningful in terms of the level of coverage that it gets, but also the quality of footballer that it can attract. And at the same time, we've had the debate. I saw you retweeting Micah Richards talking about how good a pundit Alex Scott is. I don't want to say that like there's been an arrival over the summer, but certainly in English football consciousness, and that's the football culture that we consume the most of, there's been a bit of an awakening.
Yeah, I just think it's it was only time. You could really see that already, that there's some of the best European players there. And then, you know, also for me, I guess it was just one of those opportunities. Generally, from America to Australia, they tend to to go over to their leagues quite a bit when it's when one season is in the off season. So let's when the American season is on, quite a few Australians go there, and then vice versa. So because borders are closed, obviously that kind of opportunity wasn't there. So they started to look elsewhere, and for me, that the you know they looked exactly to where you know there is a massive league growing, the potential, the talent, the the attention, the name to you know of to play for Arsenal, to play for United, to play for Tottenham, you know, is huge. So you can just see that this is now you know an opportunity then and for them to kind of you know challenge themselves in Europe. So because for me that's where the biggest challenge lies now in women's football as well. So I think it's going to be fantastic. That's the thing. Part of it is a shame that some of them are only going on loan, only going to be here until December. So they're really only going to get a handful of games, but hopefully it kind of gives that taster and the same then for clubs to be able to build up that kind of that reputation that you know a player like Alex Morgan can go to Spurs and players like that can go to City, and it's hopefully only just going to you know to grow it and keep improving and making it better.
In like everything in football, it's both a threat and an opportunity for Ireland in terms of getting players into that league. You know, that would have been our first port of call in many cases. Now that's going to be more difficult. But equally, the players who do make it are going to be playing and training with better quality players. So is it something we just need to be ready to take advantage of and not be scared of? Or is it actually something that we need to start thinking that's not going to be an outlet for us as much into the future? And going off to Italy is a great example of other opportunities that we should be trying to get our players into leagues like that.
Well, no, of course, I don't think they should be scared. It's one player, maybe two players that have gone to a team, and you know at the same time, yes, their names are so big, but they're not the team. You know, that's not what they're going to you know to base that around. Or you know, it's for me, it's obviously all about that squad. So any players that are good enough, they you know, and if they have the opportunity, is take it with both hands. And yeah, if you get to play with Alex Morgan, fantastic. That's you know that's an added bonus. But at the same time, she's still a Spurs player. She's still got to work her way into that team as well to see if she suits you know kind of the English team style of football, because it's very very different. You know, and I think it is going to be a big shock kind of to some of them coming in, you know, and in a great way. So I feel like it's whatever opportunities are there. If there's opportunities to go to Italy, Germany, France, I just think it's, you know, girls, women just need to put themselves out there, put themselves in the best situation that they can to be the best professional player they can and get the best out of them. But yeah, if you know they can, you know, we're Irish, we can play wherever we want as long as you know we put in the hard work. We'll do our best to make it good.
It probably hammers home the importance of having a strong domestic league as well, Louise.
Yeah, of course. And that's, you know, that's always seems to be a bit of that constant battle, you know, that you want, you know, the league to keep improving. And I know that is kind of tough to say when maybe some of the, you know, the top players in that league do go abroad, but there's still so much work that can be done in that league to make it even, you know, semi-professional or just more easier for the girls that want to play. And there's still so many Irish girls that are in the Irish team and that completely deserve to be in the Irish team. But, you know, if they just had that step up from, you know, the next level that the Irish league can take, that's what we have to do. You know, I'm not even sure that there's a sponsor at the moment. You know, that's for me, it's not good enough at the moment is how we are growing women's football and how the, you know, how the national team, you can see the massive improvements, but you know, we need it as an overall, we need it from the grassroots coming up. We need it for the players that are already currently playing in the league. You know, so for me, that's something that again really needs to be looked at, and not just bypassed again.
I presume you're not going to go as far in the Alex Morgan transfer as saying that the balance of power in North London is going to be shifted in any shape or form. Arsenal have started the season very, very well.
No, they've been excellent, and I've watched all their games. I've been chatting to the girls still, you know, and it's not surprised me what they can do. So I think just for them, and I think Arsenal are very good at playing every team. I think it is just that little bit of struggle with the top team. So I feel like if they can just kind of change that shift, you know, or that kind of mentality, I think, you know, it's completely in their hands. But you know, they've been just kind of just destroying teams at the moment, and you know, and you can see now that Jill Roard is the one kind of making the headlines now, and you know, she's just again one of those another fantastic Dutch players that's coming through, and yeah, so it's going to be an exciting season. But yeah, I'm definitely a fangirl now.
Just a quick one then of not fangirling, but actually being a centre back of a team now. It is Fiorentina. Great win before the international break. You beat local rivals Fiorentina 3-2. You're top of the league.
Yeah, top of the league at the moment. It was you know, one of those derby games, really, really tough game that we went into. It was 2-0, and then just, you know, that's one of those dodgy score lines, and we gave away a penalty, and you know, it really started to shift. But we gritted through it, and you know, for me, I'm just obviously we really do have like a great team. You know, for me, the midfield is just filled with some of the best footballing players that I've kind of been around, and it's just super positive because we played one game before starting the season. Two got cancelled because of one with COVID related, and then another because there was a fire beside the pitch we were supposed to be playing at. So, for me, going into a league with only one game under our belt, I was apprehensive, you know, just in general to have played one game before starting a league, and but I just think how we've been able to manage the game. And just go in, and now 3 wins out of 3 and you know, scoring a lot of goals. So for me it's we have a big couple of weeks now ahead, to be honest. We have two of the top teams coming up, one being Sassuolo and then the next then being Juventus. So that's gonna be massive games for us.
And how's your Italian?
I'm going for my first lesson today.
Right.
So no, I've been trying to pick it up as much as I can. I'm not giving you an example yet.
As long as you got the swear words, that's all you need for football, right?
So I've been taking in as much as I can and trying to learn, you know, kind of everything myself, and just standing in beside the conversations and just like listening.
And have you got the gestures? Are you like?
There, yeah, it's everything. Pasta, football, it's just all of that. Very, very passionate. But yeah, so first lesson today. So yeah, I'll be fluent now in a few weeks.
Well, listen, we'll get you on in a couple of weeks to preview the Ukraine game, and you can do it all in Italian if you want at that point.
Yeah. That just might not be good for you guys, though, you know.
Thanks a million, Louise. Cheers.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.